Well, folks, here it is, 8 January 2025. Time is flying by. Time is flying by. Tonight we're going to look at the life and times of the Apostle Peter, part 39. We'll be in 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, if I were to title this lesson anything other than the life and times of the Apostle Peter of this series that we're going through, I would call this lesson, "The Day of the Lord is Coming." And you may ask, well, Pastor Gene, what is the Day of the Lord? What is the Day of the Lord? Well, let's look in the Bible and let the Bible tell us, okay? And we will expound upon this when we get into verse 10. But the Day of the Lord is God's judgment upon the earth. And here it's used in reference to Christ's return. But we'll delve into that much more greater and show you the different areas of where the Lord speaks about the Day of the Lord. But before we get started, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the entire chapter of 2 Peter, chapter 3. And then we will come back and we will discuss what Peter's talking about these scoffers that have arrived in a day that really those scoffers that Peter's talking about has always been around, but they're always there trying to belittle the child of God and everything that is going on. You remember back when Nehemiah was going back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after they had been destroyed and the people were placed into exile in Babylon. And now Nehemiah has come back and inspected the walls. Well, he had some opposition. He had a bunch of scoffers there too. Sanballat. And later on, as I get into another series of studies, we'll talk about this Sanballat and his companion. They were scoffers trying to everything they could to stop the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, where the walls had been breached and broken down. So everything that you do, child of God, they're going to be those scoffers, especially in these latter days. And yes, I believe we are living in the latter days. And I believe it is possible that the four horsemen of the apocalypse have already started. So that will be a lesson for another time. But right now, let me get into reading 2 Peter here. And as I read it, let your mind concentrate on what is going to happen and what Peter's talking about. Who's he talking to? Well, the word tells us that. And as we go through it, then we will talk to each point. But right now, let's just read the word. Would you join with me in reading 2 Peter chapter 3? That is 2 Peter chapter 3. Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, only you know the hour and the time of Christ's return. But we can look at the seasons we are living in, Father God, and we can determine the season that we're living in by what is going on throughout the world, not only the United States, but events that are happening throughout the world. We can look and know that we are in the last days by these events, by the cosmic disturbances that have been going on here in the latter days, by all of the stuff, the wars, the famine, the starvation, the deaths that accumulative happened, especially after 2020 with the COVID virus. Father, these are indicators. These are signs that we are living in the last days. So, Father God, I just ask that this word, as it is spoken tonight, that you would anoint me, Holy Spirit, to present this in such a way that it would bring such clarity and understanding, that your people would hear it and gain the wisdom and knowledge that you have intended them for them to gain tonight. Lord God, make this word like a fire in the souls of your elect. And Father, may this word speak to your elect that the time is short, that it is time to repent. It is time to get things right that we are allowing to be running rampant in our life that is unpleasing to you. And Father God, those sins that stain the temple of the living God, our temple, Father God, let us evermore be vigilant in ensuring we do not practice a lifestyle of sin, God, and prepare this temple for the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, breathe upon me. Let me die, Lord Jesus, to self. God, that you may be revealed through this lesson tonight. Speak to the hearts. Speak to the minds. Speak to the people, Father God, who hear this in this Bible study. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, that this will be used for a transformation, Lord. Father God, the renewing of the mind. And Father God, as we read the words that Peter says, let us ever be mindful that this applies to us, especially in these latter days that we're living in. So I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Which you would, get your Bible now and turn with me and read with me, okay? Read with me. I'm going to read from the King James Version Bible. So if you would, let's read the word together. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. Verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Verse 6. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Sin then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned, or which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And that concludes the book of 2 Peter. Now let's go back and let's talk a little bit about what we just read. So there's no question about who the author is here, because Peter identifies it. Says, he says, dear friends, this is my second letter to you. And he says, I'm writing it to you because as a reminder to stimulate your mind into wholesome thinking. Not a mind that's just letting all kinds of trash come in, which is very easy to do today, isn't it? Everywhere you go, people are on their cell phones. Even when we sit down to meals, many times we see entire families. Every member of the family is on their own phone. And I see it in children. They're on their phone. Many times the parents are using the phones to be babysitters for their children. And what's going in their minds? In most cases, it's not the Word of God, but it's entertainment, entertaining through a world that's phony and fake. Movies. Something to keep the mind occupied. So Peter's saying here, I've written to you as a reminder to stimulate you into wholesome thinking. He says, I want to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. So Peter is saying, I want to tell you this stuff. I want to give to you and remind you the things that were spoken in the past by these holy prophets. And I want to remind to you the commands given to by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through your apostles. He said, I want to remind you of that. And then he goes on and he says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days. And first of all, let me say to you that we are in the last days. Peter is saying here, he says, scoffers will come. Haven't we seen the scoffers? And I'm telling you, there are those who, just as the mention of Jesus Christ, go ballistic. Most of a certain party of politics, you try to bring anything related to God or Jesus Christ into it, it will not be received, and they scoff at you and try to ridicule you. They're here, folks. The scoffers are here. That should be an indicator to you of last days. And these scoffers will scoff, and they will follow their own evil desires. Verse 4, they will say, hey, you Christians, where is the coming of this one you keep talking about, or his promise, this Jesus Christ? And they go on to say, ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the world began and creation. So let me remind you, folks, that in these last days, the scoffers will say that Jesus is never coming back. But Peter refutes them. He refutes their argument by explaining God's mastery over time, over all of time. The last days. What is the last days? The last days is the time between Christ's first coming and his second coming. Thus, we, like Peter, live in the last days. We must do the work to which God has called us and believe that he will return as he promised. And these scoffers, they will ridicule, they will laugh at, they will scoff at anything to do with God and say, hey, where's this God of yours? You know, it's been the same since the beginning and nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. Peter goes on to say that they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters, also the world that was at that time during the deluge was destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So Peter points out, he said, no, you're wrong. You're wrong, you scoffers. There has been things that's happened since God spoke into creation, the world. It hasn't been the same. When God spoke and formed out of water and by water the earth, and that same water he used to destroy the earth because of the sins and the wickedness of the people had become on the face of the earth. So God destroyed it. So scoffers, what do you have to say about that? Everything has not been the same as it is, as it was, because God is in charge. God is sovereign God. He knows what the earth needs at what time. He knows what the people of God need at what time. He knows you and when you were born, when you would be born, what your name would be, where you would be born at, and the time and span of lifetime that you would be born in. And he knew before the foundation of the earth was ever created who would and would not be willing to receive his Son as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he knows those scoffers and those wicked ones who will never ever accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They are reserved for death in the lake of fire and brimstone. So things are not going to keep going the way they are. And especially as we're living in these last days, for the scoffers, you will soon see and be aware of this is holy God, and he's coming just as he had promised. So in Noah's day, verse 7, the earth was judged by water. At the second coming, when Christ returns, it will be judged by fire. This fire is described for you in Revelations 19 and 20, and Revelation 20, 10 through 15. Let's look at that. Revelation 19, verse 20. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation at this moment. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who had worshipped his statue. Both the beast and the false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. Then the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. 11. And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. 12. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. We find here that Satan's power is not eternal. He will meet his doom. He began his evil work in mankind at the beginning, Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And he continues it today, but he will be destroyed when he is thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. The devil will be released from the abyss, or that prison, but he will never be released from the fiery lake. He will never be a threat to anyone again. At the judgment, the books are opened. They represent God's judgment, and in them are recorded the deeds of everyone, good or evil. We are not saved by deeds, but deeds are seen as clear evidence of a person's actual relationship with God. The book of life contains the names of those who have put their trust in Christ to save them. Death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire, God's judgment is finished. The lake of fire is the ultimate destination of everything wicked. Satan, the beast, the false prophets, the demons, death, Hades, and all of those whose names are not recorded in the book of life because they did not place their faith in Jesus Christ. John's vision here does not permit any gray areas of God's judgment. If by faith we have not identified with Christ, confessing Him as Lord, there will be no hope, no second chance, no appeal. Peter says in verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. He's saying with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. Aren't we glad that God is slow to anger? If it wasn't, I wouldn't be here today, folks, talking to you. I would have been long gone, long time ago, but thank God that He is long-suffering, patient, and like a day to Him is like 1,000 years to us. God may have seemed to be slow to these believers as they face persecution every day and long to be delivered, but God is not slow. He just not on our timetable, folks. Jesus waiting so that more sinners will repent and turn to Him. Aren't you glad? The longer God waits to actually come back to the earth, that gives us the opportunity to win more souls to the kingdom of God. More souls saved. More sinners to repent and turn to Him. But once He comes back, it's over. It is over. Once that final judgment has happened, it is over. So that is why we are to be awake. We are to be about God's business. Because He's given us this time. And He's slow to anger. He's long-suffering. And therefore, it gives us the opportunity to win more people to Christ before His return. You know, even Moses, when he was praying, this is Psalm 90, he's praying, he said, Lord, through all the generations, You have been our home. Before mountains were born, before You gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to the end, You are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. For You, 1,000 years, are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning, it blooms and flourishes, but even by evening, it is dry and withered. We wither beneath Your anger. We are overwhelmed by Your fury. You spread out our sins before You, our secret sins, and You see them all. We live our lives beneath Your wrath, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80, but even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear, and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of Your anger? Your wrath is awesome as the fear You deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. O Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love, so we may sing for joy at the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. Let us, your servants, see you work again. Let our children see your glory. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. So we, dear friend of God, should live with the realization that time is short and that we have important work to do. Be ready to meet Christ at any time, even today. Yet plan your course of service as though he may return tomorrow. As I said earlier, we're going to look at this day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. So this day of the Lord is a day of God's judgment on the earth. Here, it is used in reference to Christ's return. Christ's second coming will be sudden and terrible for those who do not believe in him. But if we are morally clean, spiritually alert, it won't come as a surprise to us. For other prophetic pictures of the day of the Lord we can find in God's Word. Look at Isaiah 34:4. I'm going to read Isaiah 34. I'm going to start with verse 1 and we'll go to verse 4. Come here and listen, O nations of the earth. Let the world and everything in it hear my words. For the Lord is enraged against nations. His fury is against all their armies. He will completely destroy them, dooming them to slaughter. Their dead will be left unburied, and the stench of the rotting bodies will fill the land. The mountains will flow with their blood. The heavens above will melt away and disappear like a scroll, rolled up scroll. The stars will fall from the sky like withered leaves from a grapevine or shriveled figs from a fig tree. Let's look at Joel chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to start with verse 13 of Joel chapter 3. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread the grapes, for the winepress is full. The storage vats are overflowing with the wickedness of these people. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. There, the day of the Lord will soon arrive. The sun and moon will grow dark. The stars will no longer shine. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel. Then you will know that I, the Lord, your God, live in Zion. My holy mountain, Jerusalem, will be holy forever, and foreign armies will never conquer her again. Another accounts can be found in Matthew chapter 24. Mark 13, and Luke 21, and Revelation 6, 12 through 17. And Revelation 6, 12 through 13 says, verse 12, I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. 13, then the stars of the sky fell to the earth, like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all the mountains and the islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, every slave, every person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive?" So by now you must realize that the earth is going to be burned up. We should put our confidence in what is lasting and eternal and not be bound to the earth and its treasures or pursuits. You can't take it with you, folks. So, my friend, since all of these things are going to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people are you and I be in our conduct and in our godliness? And looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens, a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. So I ask you, my friend, where are you standing today? What is your life like? There's no guarantee of tomorrow. And at the way the world is going, we are in the last days. There's been many studies done. And if you remember back in the time of Christ's times, the religious leaders, they refused to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Why? Why? Why did they refuse to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah, or even consider Him as possibly being the Messiah? Because He did not measure up to the standard of what they thought Messiah would look like. And it was just like in the days of Noah. Marrying, giving in marriage, doing everything daily without thought or care that the world could possibly be destroyed, because Noah was spreading the word, saying the flood is coming. Yet he was viewed as somebody crazy. Look at him out there in the middle of Iraq, building a big boat. Must be crazy. There's no water within miles and miles and miles. And how are you going to launch something that big? And in the times of Christ, the religious leaders would not accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Messiah, because He did not fit their view of what Messiah should look like. And I must say, folks, in today's time, you need to, or should, I should say, you should be aware of the times that we are living in. These times that we are living in could very well possibly be the very end time. And I know this will probably get a lot of flack, but I believe that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are already here. That being said, means that we are in the 70th week of Daniel into the tribulation period. But there are many there who say, "Oh no, well, the church is going to be raptured out." Well, just keep thinking that way, and be like the frog in the pot. The water starts to boiling and heating up, and the frog doesn't know he's in trouble until it's too late. There are signs and indicators that have been happening since 2020, folks, that would point and lead to that we are in those end days and end times, as spoken of in the scriptures. And I'll cover more on this after we get through the studies of Peter. But the signs are all around us, not only cosmic signs, but there are signs that point that we are in the tribulation period already. You say, well, that can never be because Christ hasn't come back. No, he hasn't. But could it possibly be that many of God's people have said, well, that narrative that you're speaking of doesn't fit what we've been taught all of our lives? Well, neither did Jesus Christ meet the narrative of those religious leaders in Jerusalem at that time, and they killed him. So we are way down the line, way down the line. Folks, there is stuff going on in our world today that you just wouldn't believe. There have been, in 2022, in Birmingham, opening ceremony highlights. You go check this out for yourself if they haven't removed it already. The Commonwealth Games, where they had Baal worship. It's just sickening. Abominations are happening, folks. The abominations are happening right here before our own eyes on a worldwide scale. Just not America, folks. It's worldwide. The Paris opening ceremonies, 2024, just an abomination. And an abomination. Where they did a parody of the Lord's Last Supper using transgender mocking the Last Supper with these transgender dressed up figures. It's totally blasphemous and an abomination. And yet, it's the Christians who are being scoffed at. It's the Christians who are being scorned. It is the Christians who are being persecuted. Nowhere would you have saw anything like this happening, or would it have been allowed with any other religious movements. In other words, they would not make a mockery of Muhammad. They would not make a mockery of the other or false deities, howbeit, but even those would not allow it. But yet, the Christians sat idly by allowing their Lord Jesus Christ to be mocked, scoffed, blasphemed. What does that speak to us as Christians, folks? The time is short, shorter than you realize. And it is time that you look at your life. It is time to put away those sinful habits. It is time to put away the ungodly viewing of all the garbage that's in the media. It's time to teach your children, not allow your children to be babysit by your iPhones, destroying the generation. Generations upon generations of our children never hearing the word of the gospel, but filling their minds with garbage. Is that what we've become? We will all face the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for how we stewarded what he has given us to be used for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Well, we will get into all of this later, but right now I'm going to close this Bible study out. We've ended at verse number 13 of 2 Peter chapter 3. We will pick up next week about becoming steadfast in your belief, in your faith, and to diligently be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will give you some of these things that's happening in our world today that points directly to the end times and the prophetic voices that have spoke to the end times. So be ready, be standing by, be vigilant, because the Lord Jesus Christ could return very quick. And you say, well, he can't return because the gospel hasn't been spread throughout all the land. No, it hasn't. But did you know that there are going to be angels proclaiming the gospel to every tongue, every nation? You say, yeah, but we won't be here. Now, you better look at what's happening in your world and where we're at on the stage of humanity, as in relationship to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this has been Pastor Gene, and I know that's not an uplifting note to leave you with, but that's the way it is. And we're going to look, and we're not going to sugarcoat it. We're going to look at the events that are happening and has happened in our world since 2020, and how we could possibly be knocking on the door of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ within your lifetime, my lifetime. And I know, oh, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, if you want to hear and see what is going on in our world and how God cannot allow it to continue, the blaspheme of him, and how the evil is spreading more and more. So you stay tuned. Folks, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 6, says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. In verse 7, it was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and every people and every tongue and every nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who had been slain. And if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here's the perseverance and faith of the saints. Bear with me here for a while. Revelation 14, starting with verse 6. The proclamation of the three angels. And I saw another angel flying in mid heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of waters. Verse 9. Then another angel, the third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And here, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So I just want to say, these angels proclaiming the word of God throughout all the earth, all the nations, all peoples, that everyone will hear the gospel. But it goes on, the other angel goes on to say, if anyone receives the mark of the beast. Well, my question is, if the church has been raptured, then how can the saints who are living on the earth refuse a mark? How can they refuse a mark unless they're still here? That's my point. How can you refuse the mark of the beast unless you're still here on this earth to accept it or reject it? These are some things you need to really seriously think about and consider, folks. Now, I know what a lot of religions have proclaimed throughout the ages and the years, that the church will not be here for the tribulation. Well, I don't see it. There's too much scripture to speak to it. And again, I warn you, don't be like the time when Christ had come and revealed himself to the religious leadership in Jerusalem, and they did not identify with him because he did not fit what they had been taught throughout the traditions of men. So you understand and see why it's so important to look at the signs of the times that we're living in. What is going on in the world, folks, is what I'm saying. What is going on, and what are the scriptures saying? Can you find it in the Bible of the things that are happening in the world today? So that's some of the stuff we're going to be looking at in the future. But until that time, this is Pastor Gene. We'll join up with you again next week and finish out 2 Peter chapter 3. As a close, folks, let me pray with you. There may be some of you out there that are teetering on the edge of knowing whether or not you're really born again, saved, purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me help you with it, okay? If you could, let me ask you this question. If you could, would you be willing to become born again? And if your answer is yes, then that tells me that you're one of the elect, one of God's chosen, though you may have never come into the fold yet. Or you may be out there saying, well, I'm not sure. I have thought I believed in Christ, but there's nothing in my life that would show anyone that I do. So if you're like that, let me pray with you, okay? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I know, Father God, that this message probably rattled some souls out there, but that's good. Lord, my sole intention and purpose, I feel tonight as I brung this message, was to let the people know that your coming, your return, Lord Jesus Christ, is imminent. And Lord Jesus, that we can look at what is going on round about us, going on round about Israel, going on round about the entire world. Father God, how the world has just become bitter against anything godly, anything to deal with Jesus Christ. God, there's mockeries, there's scoffers, there are those who, Lord God, just get angry and mad even at the mention of the Lord Jesus Christ and refuse, Father God, to acknowledge that He is Lord. So, Father, I pray right now that anyone who heard this Bible teaching tonight, Holy Spirit, deal with them. Deal with those hearts, Father God, who are stampering on the fence post, on the fence, could fall either way. And if that's you tonight, then I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, visit that person. And Lord, let the word that was taught tonight so convict them in a way that they would turn to you, Lord Jesus. And if you're out there and you could say, Pastor Gene, I'm not sure, then let me lead you with some prayer, okay? But understand, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. It is the Holy Spirit that brings one through salvation. It is the Holy Spirit that changes the lives. When you will say that, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died on the cross, was crucified, that His blood was shed for the atonement of the sins of mankind. And I believe that He was killed, He was buried in the grave, stayed there 3 days, and was resurrected by His own power, and now sits at the right hand of the Lord God Almighty in heaven. And He hears my prayer right now, and He's making intercessions for me. So I'm asking, Lord Jesus, would You come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, forgive me of my sins, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, change my life. Come in, lead me, guide me, direct me, show me the truth. And folks, it's Jesus Christ and Him alone. By faith are you saved, not that of yourself, not by works, lest any man should boast. You can't work for salvation. It comes through faith that God gives you to believe. And if you believe, and if you confess with your mouth just what we spoke of earlier, then you will be saved, will be born again. But you must believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And He is our only way to become born again. Our only way to enter into heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you said that prayer, dear friend, you find you a church that teaches the Word of God. Not a feel-good church, not a pumping church of entertainment and emotions, but just the raw Word of God, and get yourself discipled. And if you can't find a church like that, you can come and visit us at Challenge. If you're not within our state or where we're at locally, you can go to our website at challengeministries.com, click on listen, tab down, There's basic Bible studies. There's the Florida Bible Institute, and you can be discipled right there. So this is Pastor Gene saying, God bless you real good. Now, Father, take these words, I pray. Take these words and burn it in the hearts of those who heard it. And Lord God, calls for all peoples who heard this to stop and do an evaluation of where are they with you. Do they know about you, Lord Jesus? Do they profess you, Lord Jesus? Or do they actually possess you? Do they have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within them? So, Father, I pray this, that you would give everyone who hears this Bible study an increase in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the times that they are living in. And God, give them discernment to discern what is happening in and around them in the world today and how it points directly to the soon return of you, Lord Jesus. Bless your people, Father God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, folks, until we meet again, God bless you and yours real good. Good night.